Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Rob on More Than Money. And, you know, Rob, sometimes in Calgary, the weather gets nasty and it gets cold. And, you know, we complain about, you know, living in Canada or in Calgary and so on and so forth. And it turns out that Calgary might not be such a bad place to live. So, you know, there's every year we see research done on various cities around the world and livability, and there's so on and so forth, you know, lots of input put around that. And we're going to explore that today because Calgarians might actually be surprised about how good our city is.
Pleasantly surprised, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Anna Nichols is an industry analyst director at the Economist Intelligence Unit, and she's joining us today. Anna, welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be here.
Now, you're just north of London. We're sitting here in Calgary, and we're going to talk about the various cities around the world and the livability. But so you guys do some research on these cities. Maybe you can just give us a little bit of background, first of all, before we go into the rankings, about what do you look for in a city that's, you know, that makes it a livable city?
Yeah, so we score cities across the world on five categories. We score them on stability, which broadly means kind of political stability, but also that the rules work, the laws are enforced. We score them on the healthcare provision. We score them on the culture and environment, which includes the climate. You mentioned Canada's climate. And we score them on education systems, so the availability of schools, and also the infrastructure, including the public transport. And we do this primarily for the sake of kind of senior executives who might be moving to that city and want to know what the kind of standard of living they can expect in that city is going to be. But we also do it for the sake of the cities. The cities like to compare themselves, know where they're falling short. And so, you know, it's a useful exercise just to see which are the most kind of livable, comfortable cities. We're not talking about the, you know, ones you'd want to visit. We're talking about the ones you like to live in on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, that's interesting. So, given that, and you're scoring, how many countries do you score around the world in total? Or cities, excuse me.
Yeah, cities. So we used to score it. We've been doing this survey for about 20 years now. Twice a year we do it. And we used to score 140. This year we actually added another 44 cities, but we had to drop one. And that one was Kiev, because we couldn't complete the survey in Kiev because the war broke out just as we were doing the survey. So we've ended up with a survey of 173 cities across the world. I mean, they're fairly evenly spread. I'd say probably fewer in Middle East and Africa, but, you know, basically a good cross-section of the biggest cities across the world.
Well, we have a lot of conversations, Dave, with clients and listeners about where we'd want to live in the heart of the winter.
Yeah.
It's the Bahamas or somewhere. That's where we'd rather live, right?
Yeah.
This report, Anna, it showed three cities in Canada in the top 10. So I found that interesting. Calgary, Vancouver, and Toronto. And so what specifically is drawing Canadian cities to the top of this list?
Well, it's interesting. Canada has always done pretty well in this survey, I have to say, because it has the stability. It has good investment in public services and in infrastructure. And it also has a relatively good investment in terms of culture and environment as well. So Canada does normally do pretty well in this survey. I have to say that last year and the year before, the survey was obviously massively skewed by the pandemic. So a lot of cities, and particularly those cities that were quite strict about the pandemic and about making sure that people didn't infect each other, they got scored down because obviously shops were shut, museums were shut, and so we couldn't score them high on that culture and environment section. And so Canadian cities dropped as a result of that, but they've all bounced back again, and they really do pretty well. I mean, if you're talking about Calgary specifically, it gets the maximum possible scores in three of the five categories I mentioned. So in terms of healthcare, in terms of infrastructure, in terms of education, it gets 100 out of 100.
So let's talk about where we rank, and we won't hold Toronto against you. You know, we're out west here. I don't know that I would agree that anybody should be living in Toronto, but so be it. We'll take your math for what it is. I'm going to have you compare and contrast, if you would, Anna, to the extent you can, the number one position And where we fall in Calgary, and you, I'll do the drum roll, you can tell us where we are in the most livable cities in the world. So maybe start with that, and then compare and contrast the number one ranked city for us.
Yeah, okay. So in first place, we had Vienna. In second place, we had Copenhagen in Denmark. And in third place, drum roll, we had Zurich and Calgary tied for third place. So I mentioned that Calgary got top possible scores in three of the categories. Where it fell down slightly was in terms of stability. And one of the things that played into that, I have to say, were the anti-vaccine protests that were taking place at the time when we did the survey. So that was February to March this year. So that was obviously a slight kind of downward score in terms of the stability ranking. But also, Calgary didn't do quite as well as Vienna in terms of culture and environment. I mean, if you think both Vienna and Copenhagen, they're capital cities. They've been there for hundreds of years as kind of major tourist destinations. They've got loads and loads of attractions, and they get the best possible kind of orchestras and operas, etc., that their countries can provide. So to my mind, it's really impressive that Calgary managed to push itself up into third place. But it just did fall slightly short on that culture and environment section.
You can see that as a, you know, as a relatively new city, as Anna said, right? We've got a couple of hundred years to sort of try to catch up in some of those areas. But
absolutely.
I think that's fantastic. So having done all this research, Anna, if there was one thing you could say to Calgary's city council right now to try to improve, aside from you got to be a couple of hundred years older, what would you say?
You've got to be a couple of hundred years older. I mean, I suppose there's not an awful lot I can say. The scores are really close right at the top. I mean, Vienna got 99.1, Calgary got 96.3. It's really right. Close at the top. And it is just those really little things that swing it in terms of the kind of, you know, cultural offering in those cities. It's really hard to see what Calgary could do, but I mean, I suppose just making sure that those cultural and environmental attributes it does have. I mean, you know, the Olympics of the Winter Olympics facilities that were put in place, those are kind of kept up to date and kept in good condition, and also that there's lots to do basically in the city. I mean, that's all that Calgary can do, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's fantastic. And I want to thank you very much for taking some time out of your busy day to join us and extol the virtues of the city that we live in, because sometimes we forget, I think, how good the city is. Thank you very much.
It is good. Great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
We've been joined by Anna Nichols, Industry Analyst Director at the Economist Intelligence Unit. And I think there's some truth. I mean, certainly, I think Anna made some very good points there. And there are some areas with a new country and a new city that's going to be very difficult to compete. And I can tell you, my wife and I, Maddie, as you know, several years ago, we decided that we wanted to go see an opera at the Opera House in Vienna at the opening night. And so we flew to Vienna for that and had a bit of a trip built around that. And it's spectacular. Like, there's nothing in Calgary that would compare to that experience and the history of that opera house and so on and so forth. But I think we forget. I think my comment is we forget sometimes about how good we have it in Calgary.
Well, you're right? And it's not just summer, winter, it's embracing, you're right. There's always something to do.
Right.
Always something.
Yeah, winter or summer, right? Yeah. And I get that sometimes, you know, the cold gets to you. We've got lots of clients, friends, people we know that want to get down south and get out of the cold for a period of time, and I understand that as well. Okay, listen, I think we got to take a quick break. But the fact is, there's many people that are retiring in Calgary, and they're going to get to enjoy Calgary over the coming years as City Council takes Anna's information and makes sure that the infrastructure around sports facilities and so on and so forth continue to get upgraded and built out. So we've got to talk about how to integrate lifestyle with money, where you want to live, what you're going to experience. And we're going to have a conversation around that at our upcoming seminar.
We do. We are next seminar coming up Tuesday, August 16th. This will be at 7 p.m. live online. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
Okay, stick around after the break. We're going to talk a little bit about estate planning. We've got a very unique case where what happens if an estate is getting closed up and it has a tax bill bigger than the cash in it. Stick around for some information on that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.